I've been called a lot of things, but Eddie is not one of them. And I'm sure for some of you, you're going to start calling me Eddie. I heard Paulie all the way back. I want to say this morning, that table that's sent up out in the back there, Sue Gagne. Where are you, Susie? Stand up. I want everybody to see you. I want you to stand up. I know you're pointing to everybody else because that's what you do. That woman right there is one of the most caring, loving, wonderful, gentle-hearted, love you. You could be upside down in a mud puddle, and she'll run and pull you out and breathe life into you. And I thank you for that. And her whole team. I just wanted to say that this morning about her. You're not alone. And I'm going to help you a little more with that. Before I do that, I heard it's we got a 10-year-old here this morning. Angelina, is it your birthday today? Stand up, honey. Happy birthday, honey. Love you. And also, we have some guests here from California, but we got a guest from heaven here. It's the first time he's ever been in the house. I want Leo, if he would invite his mom and dad to stand, and his grandma and grandpa, Leon and Robin Brill are in the house today. Come on, can you give them a big God bless you? And brand new Leo is here. Come on. Thank you, Lenny and Robin, Micah, Nicole, we love you. We thank God for you so much. Lenny, you've been a friend of mine for years. I love you. So grateful for you. I don't like you living on the other side of the country, but we still love one another in the midst of that. Thank all of you for your giving. Thank you for giving to our local missions here, the gym floor. If you haven't seen it, we're going to do an open house in time when we can gather together a little bit more as the season moves on, and see what all of you have done. We made our first payment on that last week. I said the cost of that was right around $30,000, and we're going to pay for that over 6 months at $5,000 a month. We made our first payment on it, and God had the money to do it. Come on, can you say amen to that? In the midst of that, in the middle of that, we still give to other missions and work locally, regionally, and internationally as well. So thank you for that. Thank you for partnering with us on that today. So appreciate that. I want to pray, and then I want to just share just a few minutes. I'm mindful of the time, and my heart goes out to some this morning. There's people that are struggling, that are hurting, that are going through times and situations in their lives that many of us don't even realize. And you know, some people say, well, I didn't know that. The reality of it is people's personal lives and what they're dealing with and going through, maybe they don't want everybody to know it, but they want us to pray for them. And we can do that without knowing the details. So, Lord, today, we just thank you for this moment. We thank you for the opportunity to be together in your house, in your moment, in your time. God, speak to every one of our hearts. Not through what a man could ever do, but by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bring peace, bring hope, bring comfort to everyone, I pray today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So grateful for all of you. Just want to share just a few moments with you this morning. You know, I've been doing this for several years now. And in talking and having conversations with individuals on a regular basis, many people come up to me and they say to me in their lives, they say things like, what am I missing? What is missing in my life? Why can't I get over this? Why can't I get through this? Why can't I get beyond this moment in my life? And I've learned that through these moments, through this time, that what I am missing, what I miss in the moments that I deal with in that in my life, is somebody else to help me walk through that together. You and I were never called to be alone. I love how Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he said, I'll build my church. Jesus said, I will build it. And then he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But what is the church? The church isn't a building. The church is our people. We need the building. We need buildings. We need brick and mortar. But we need one another more than we need anything else. And through this whole COVID, we have found out that we can have church outside of the building. Listen, we need to come together. This is imperative that we come together. But in times of difficulty, the church doesn't fall apart because somebody tells us we can't go into a building. The church stays strong together because we have one another. Amen. Come on today. And you need and I need one another. And I think about during moments like this, during the time that we have had the church and we started, it'll be 25 years ago next Easter, and we're going to put together, we're going to have something happen in that time next Easter, 25 years. But one thing that I've learned and I've understand that I've seen many people's life incredibly transformed, and there's one common denominator with all of it. They didn't do it alone. During the time, they had other people in their lives that spoke into their lives, that encouraged them, that helped them when they were in a hard place. They applauded them when they had victories and learned to reach down and help them up when they stumbled and they fell. And I love this old saying. It says, if you see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know he did not get there by his own. And you can look at people who have gotten to a certain place and you say, wow, look what they did. Nobody gets there on their own. We need one another in our lives. We need others in our lives to help us to go to places that God has called us to that we could never go on our own and in our own strength. And you know what I've learned, and Ryan, he just confirmed it this morning when he was talking about the men's meeting. You would think the greatest moment of that Wednesday night would be when the guy that's leading it was teaching it, but sometimes not. There is a reverberating effect that happens afterwards. It always happens. That somebody meets somebody in an obscure place over coffee he says, we walk outside and I see the guy, and then we go and reach out to him. We have a meeting after the meeting. That tremendous moments like that can happen. I remember some 29 years ago, 28 years ago, when we lived in Seattle, Washington. I was broken. I was alone. I was lonely. I was hurt. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to stay married, have children. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'll never forget going to a men's meeting and having a man stop his car afterwards, kind of turn towards me and look at me and tell me and speak into my life and encourage me. He said, what do you want to do? And I told him what I wanted to do. And he said, you'd be a great pastor. He said, you're a great father. I was not a great father then. He said, you're a great husband. I wasn't a great husband then. But he spoke those words into my life. And let me tell you something. They gave me fuel to become who God had called and created me to be. And I was pondering that this week, and I was thinking as Sam got up and said this morning, she's been here 19 years. Had I not been together with that man some 28, 29 years ago, and had he not spoke that into my life, and had I not grabbed onto that, she wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here, my grandchildren wouldn't be here, things would be so much different. And I think about that for people that are in here this morning, that you have not reached your greatest destiny and purpose yet because you have not adhered and embraced everything that God has called you to have. And that comes through relationships with others. Think about, what am I missing? I'm missing somebody in my life. The writer of Ecclesiastes 4:8, he said, there was a man all alone, and loneliness can be the most detrimental thing to anyone's life. In fact, loneliness during COVID has contributed to one of the greatest health crises, not only in the nation, but in the world. In 2020, 1 out of 4 under the age of 30 have wanted or have attempted or have succeeded in committing suicide alone, because they're alone. 1 out of 10 of the general population. In October, listen to this, in 2020, last October, more people died in Japan of suicide than in the entire year of COVID. In 1 month. There's so much in there. But there was a man and he was all alone. And he goes on to say there's no end to his toils. In his eyes, his life was not content with the wealth he had. And everybody, our society says, get more. The more you have, the happier you will be. But here he's saying, I'm not content. I've got all this wealth and it still doesn't do it for me. And he asks, why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? Wait a minute. You mean with wealth, I can't have enjoyment? I'm not speaking against that. I thank God for those who are prospered and who are doing incredible. I thank God for them. But here's what the writer says. After he says, why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? He says, two are better than one. The wealth does not give you enjoyment. The two that are together is what brings you wholeness and happiness and fulfillment. Because they have a good return for their labor. If one falls down, the other one helps him up. And he says, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Alone. Lonely. Isolated. People is, you know, and men, I'm not picking on us men. Maybe a little bit. I don't need anybody. I got this. I can do this by myself. Has anybody ever said that, or am I the only one? I don't need anybody. I'm a man. I can do this. But he says, pity anyone who falls, and there's no one else around him. And let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, everyone comes to a moment in their life like this. I hate to tell you that. But there will come a moment in your life where you will hit the wall. And you will need somebody there that reaches out their hand and says, come on, you can do this. You can go on from here. He says, though one may be overpowered, two will stand and defend themselves. And a cord of three strands will not be broken. Because real life happens in the context of relationships, not just by information. We grow, we need information, but our lives are changed through relationship. I need people in my life that can teach me how to be a great husband, teach me how to be a great father, teach me how to be a great grandfather. And I'm going to tell you something. I have not been the greatest husband, the greatest father, but I'm in the top for being the best boppy that there is. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can ask my grandkids when I'm nowheres around. And I can help somebody to be a grandpa. Being a grandpa doesn't mean you sit back and everybody waits on you. Being a grandpa means that now you get to wait on everybody else. We went a few weeks ago to Florida, the whole family, except Garrett. He had to work. And every morning at the pool, 8 o'clock in the morning, I'd get down there at 6:30. I had to get the chairs set up for the pool. We had 15 people. And every morning at 8 o'clock when that pool opened, the kids were in there. And guess who was in there with them? From 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 or 6 at night. And I loved every minute of it. Loved it. And I've learned that I don't just need people telling me things, but I need people showing me how to do these things because I need others. Romans 12:5 says, since we're all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all of the others. We need one another. We need one another. I want to share with you, and I'm just going to be a couple moments, this concept, this thought, it's called the Johari window. It's a relationship understanding of what our lives is. And each one of us are in the four quadrants, the four panes of this window. Number one is the pane of the arena. It's the quadrant of arena. It's part of our life. It's the part where I know you and you know me. It's that. meeting someone for the first time and you talk to them for a few minutes and you see what they look like on the outside and you ascertain who they are just by a few moments of getting together with them, and you walk away and say, wow, that person, they're great. But the reality of it is that you don't know who they are and they don't know who you are. You have a public view, and that's the arena. And unfortunately, that's where many people live their lives, on a very, very minimal basis with anyone else. But Jesus says in Matthew 23:5, he said, everything they do is done for people to see. And if all we live our lives are for others to see, we miss some of the greatest experiences that we could ever have in our lives. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 23:27, he said, woe to teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside, you're broken, you're hurting. You're in need of somebody to come alongside of you and tell you, you're going to make it. You can do this. You look happy, but you're not happy. The second window, the second pane is the facade. I know, but you don't know. I have things in me that no one else knows. And we keep it covered, we keep it buried, because we don't want anybody to know. We don't want to tell anybody. We tried it one time, and it came back and it bit us. 2 Corinthians 4:2 in the Message, he says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open. And can I tell you something? The more open you are with those relationships, and I'm not telling you, you got to do it with everybody. Over the years, I've had people come into the church. I've never met them and never seen them. And they come up to me and they say, hey, I know as a pastor, you don't have anybody you can talk to and you're lonely. I want you to know you can talk to me. I'll be that person. And I'll look back at them and I'll say, and I won't say it, but in my mind I say, you're the last person I'm going to tell something to. I am not lonely, and I do have people I talk to. As a pastor, I want everyone to know that. I have people that I talk to, that I need in my life, that I pick up the phone, and I call. And because when I'm open, God begins to heal and restore and to help. And some people, you're masters at building walls around you. Masters at it. Some people even brag about it. Oh, nobody's going to penetrate this wall. But all the time, Jesus wants you to open up that to allow somebody else in. And I'm not just talking about anybody. I'm talking about somebody that maybe you can have relationship with. You get to know. It doesn't happen overnight. This doesn't happen with, you know, walking up to somebody and say, you can tell me anything you want. Yeah, okay. So you can flash it on the screen for the world. I don't need that. What I need is somebody that will come with me and have a relationship with me and speak into my life. And some people say, I just can't do that. Let me tell you something. Have you ever spilled hot water on yourself, burned yourself a little bit? Have you ever done that and said, I'll never use water again? Of course you did. And of course you've used water after that. My brothers and my sisters, there are people in this room. There are people in our small groups that you can build relationships with that will help you get through wherever you are and whatever you've been going through. You can ask that help. And you need people that you can talk to in your life. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He said, friendship is born in that moment when one person says to another, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. You're not the only one. There's others. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can be healed. We confess our sins to God for forgiveness, but we confess those things inside to one another so we can be healed. Amen? Come on today. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greeting. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. I love that because we need some Epaphrases in our lives that will meet us, that will come into agreement with us, and that will wrestle in prayer to keep us going strong and in the right direction. Amen. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around. Come on, help a brother out up here. The number third pain quadra is the blind spots. This is so good. I don't know, but you know. I don't know, but you know. Patty and I were out somewhere a bit ago. I can't even remember where it was. She went into the restroom. She came out of the restroom, and she had a piece of paper on her foot that she didn't know. But I said, honey, come here. Let me get that off. I was at an event in Buffalo at Samuel's Grand Manor years ago. I had suit, tie on, you know, doing everything I could to look good on the outside. And I'm walking down this hall. It was a break in between. Hundreds of people around me. People are looking at me. I thought they were, you know, looking at me because how good looking I am. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up next to me. He taps me on the shoulder. He says, hey, buddy, you got a streamer on your foot. I look down. There's a 5-foot-long piece of toilet paper on my heel. I don't know. I didn't know that. But somebody else did. And that's why you and I need people. We need relationships in our lives that we can allow people to see us when we don't treat our spouse right, when we talk too harshly to our kids, when we treat the waitress at the restaurant that just served us, we just leave church and we're tired and we're cranky and they don't do what we want them to when we think they should, and we treat them with disrespect. We need somebody in our lives that could say, you could do better than that. You're a better husband than that. You're a better father. You're a better mom. You're a better wife. You could do better with that because it's a blind spot in our lives. Some of you have blind spots in your life that nobody has spoken to your life. And you've done so good to keep yourself walled away from that person that could tell you. Or if you know somebody, I have people that get to know me just a little bit. Because they know if they get to know me more, they know they're going to hear some words come into their lives. Some of you, you may be here this morning. Maybe you're watching online. It's not to hurt you. It's because I see potential in every single one that I come in contact with, and I will not go to sleep at night until I have the opportunity to help you reach that potential. That's what I live for. That's what I believe in. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wound, sometimes it hurts. I've had people in years gone by come up and say, you know, you're a little harsh on your wife there. No, I wasn't. Yes, I was. That's a wound. A faithful are the wounds of the friend. But the kisses of an enemy. Oh, you're just the greatest. You're wonderful. If you got people just all the time speaking how wonderful and perfect and just excellent you are, you need more people in your life. Hebrews 3:12 says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you are hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And I'm not telling you just to go around trying to figure out what's bad about everybody and say, hey, you're dumb. Don't do that. You have to have relationship with people before you can have that voice into their lives. And then, Debbie, come on up. I'm closing with this, the fourth window. I love this. This is the window, the pain, the quadrant of potential. I don't know, and you don't know. This is the undiscovered talents, the undiscovered opportunities, the undiscovered relationships that God has for us that we will never know until we come in contact with who He is in our lives through other people. I told you about that scenario in my life 28, 29 years ago. But I've had so many of those, and then I've had the opportunity to watch others through life. I think of Aaron Martin, who will be speaking this Thursday, and just is an incredible communicator. That one time in her life that she jumped on a bus and went to Chicago, never knowing. And when everybody else got out of the elevator at night, and I was standing there, and I heard this sniffling behind me, and I looked around. Here's this little girl. I don't know how old she was, 18, 19. And she looked at me and she said, I need something more. And in that moment, not in the church, we just left from a church service with Pastor Tommy Barnett. Greatest, to me, he's greatest, one of the greatest preachers in the world. It wasn't in that moment, but it was in that short little window in that elevator. I think about Brad Trzynski. I think about the moments that I had. He was in a hole laying, helping lay block at a project that we were doing, and I'd bring him a cup of coffee. It was in those moments that God transformed his life. Think about all my own kids, my Ben. I think about Ryan. I think about Garrett. It's not just in moments with me. It's in moments where they avail themselves to others that would speak into their lives and to allow God to have influence in them. And some people think that doing that, that everything is just going to always feel good. I don't know what the phrase you used this morning. You want to get tickled, but sometimes when people are speaking into your life, it's not going to tickle you. It's going to challenge you. I think about over my life. I think about some of the relationships that I have now. I thought about Brother Jim Booty 20 years ago, maybe 18 years ago. I was ready to choke him. And he deserved it. Now he's one of my closest friends. Just because you have some sparks fly sometimes. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. We don't, listen to me, we don't run away because we don't get our own way. Did you hear what I just said? Many people are missing the potential and the destiny that God has for them lives. Because when the relationship comes into their lives and speaks into their lives and they don't like it, it's not what they want to hear, they exit. Only to have to start the process all, come on, say it, what? All over again. All over again. Like Ron Servone, I've known him 30-some years. I wanted to do more than choke him. We're not perfect. I call Ron. I sent him a text before I preached in the first service. I said, Ron, could you get me a coffee with two shots of espresso? He right out between services, he gets me that coffee. He's my friend. He's my brother. We don't get what we want all the time. It doesn't work just the way we, well, you know, this didn't happen and that didn't happen and, you know, I'm going to pick up my toys and go somewhere else. You need people for the long haul in your life. Chuck and Cheryl Vendetti sitting in a restaurant in Seattle, Washington. I don't even know how many years ago. A long time ago. We get in an argument. It was a heated argument. I don't even know what it was about. And she was done. She was going to go back. And I said, I'm not going to let this go. Patty says, honey, you better let it go. I go, no. I went back. You know, had I not went back that night, Malachi wouldn't be standing up here singing this morning. Don't miss the great plan that God has for your life. Just because somebody speaks something in you, and it does, somebody, you need to be listening to me right now. You're turning me off, and you're used to doing that, but God has a purpose and a destiny for you that you've not even touched yet. Because Paul said in Colossians 2:19, the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. In a small group, in the next steps, in a meeting after the meeting. You know, sitting on the bench out on the sidewalk after church this morning. I love driving by there sometimes, heading to St. Anthony's, and the woohoo crowd is sitting out there, and they're having their powwow, and they're, yay, pastor, come on, you preached it. I'm thinking, yeah, they're doing business there, but they're encouraging everybody that goes by, and we need that in our lives. Come on, can you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus this morning? Let's connect. Let's walk away from alone. and let's walk towards others. Somebody in this room today, you could be the answer to an individual's life. You don't even know. Maybe you haven't even met them yet. They could be part of the destiny of your life. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me this morning. There's one thing you can't walk alone on. You need Jesus in your heart and your life. If you've never given him your life, you need to do that today. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I need you and I need others. Spirit of the living God, even in this moment that we're at right now, have your way in every one of our hearts. Heal, restore, draw us together, God, to be everything that you have called and created us to be. I ask it in the name of Jesus today. Come on, everybody give a big amen this morning.